Hey, everyone. I know we just did a lot of praying, but let's just start off in prayer. God, thanks for this evening, this opportunity to be together in worship. And with all that's going on right now, I ask that you help us to be present here with one another. Help us to be present and listening to you. And I pray that the things that are shared tonight are honoring you and in your vision, and that we might, as a community, continue to grow more faithful in your ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, first of all, I don't like handheld mics, and so if I start talking and it goes away and you can't hear me, just like raise your hand, get my attention. Don't suffer through that. No one deserves to. So my name's John. Shut up, Mark. Sorry. My name's John, and I haven't been here for the past couple weeks, and I have been missing you all. But I am excited to talk to you about something that I've been thinking about talking to you all for a long time. I'm going to start off with a story. So this woman, that the next picture is Amama. Amama is an Indian, a Hindu woman. She lives in the village of Chiluvuru, which is where Menno Clinic India, a small health clinic in what used to be rural India, was built. And I'm going to tell you a story from back in 1998. The clinic, Menno Clinic, was being built on the site of Amama's house. And as the clinic was being built, the board, which was based out of Indiana, felt like they needed, they wanted someone there to help make sure that the relationships with the community and with the village elders and everything was going well. And feeling rather ill-equipped to do so, they found someone who had grown up in India and then had ministered in India, someone they thought was an experienced person, an old hat at this stuff, to go and be there in the clinic, to be this kind of liaison person for them. So this person had been serving in Chiluvuru for a few weeks when we started to hear some news that was kind of troubling. And by we, I don't mean me. They started to hear some news that was troubling of there being some really broken relationships and some, maybe this person was causing more damage than good. And so, you know, fearing that this whole project might be derailed, my dad and Subrah Yarlagada, they flew to India to try to figure this out. They ended up sending this gentleman home. It turns out he was not very respectful, after all, of the people that we were hoping that he would be building relationships with. One of those people was Amama. This gentleman was staying in Amama's home. He was disrespectful of her religion. He was disrespectful of her cuisine that she was preparing for him. He did not want to only eat vegetarian, and she was a vegetarian. So she had been primarily cooking that, and he just generally talked down on her, it's not good. So my dad, in the couple weeks that they were there, one of the things that he did was he asked Amama, why did you continue to treat him so well? How could you do this? You know, we would have totally backed you up if you wanted to tell him to get out of here, you know? And she said, every person that I encounter and every person that comes into my home, I must treat them as if they were God, because God dwells with inside them. And that piece of hospitality and that story of hospitality is something that has been pretty foundational for me ever since the first time I heard it. And I think it's one that I reflect very much in my own faith, in that I try my best to see and experience how God is at work in each one of us, in each one of God's created, loved people, right? This is just one of the stories that has inspired this sermon on hospitality. I don't know how many of you came across your views of hospitality. Mine came, honestly, came through stories hearing about people like Amama, came from wonderful old ladies in our church who made pies. I'm a pastor's kid, and so we had casseroles and pies, and Pastor's Appreciation Month was awesome. And, like, you know, in the Mennonite culture and tradition, for some reason, food is just a huge hospitality thing, right? My mom and my grandma both loved hosting things, and food was always a big part of that, and preparing for a meal for a long time. And so these are things, when I think about hospitality, I think of food, and more food. And that's just one of the ways that it's come to me. When you all think of hospitality, what kind of comes to mind for you? Food, yeah, more food. Mark, yeah, me and you. Welcome, invitation. Yeah, always someone living in your house. Yeah, there are people who have literally opened their doors to folks from other places.
Loving attitude.
Yeah. Looking for needs that can be met. I love that. Yeah, because it's about, and we're actually gonna talk about that a little later. It's about being perceptive. Yeah, we agree. We agree more than we let on. More than I let on. Yeah. Helpless, selfless acts. Yeah. Some of the crazy stuff like enemy love and whatever often comes up. And I think too that often when we think about hospitality, we think about it as duty, right? We think about it as this thing that we're supposed to do. And that's not a bad thing. I think that we think because we're Christians, because we're a good person, moving to this state, I'm finding out, because we're Minnesotan, we are hospitable people. We are supposed to be welcoming to those who need shelter, feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked. This sound familiar from somewhere? And so this is something that's kind of built in. I want us to recognize that and for that to be a good thing and a positive thing. But throughout this message, I want to encourage us to start thinking about what is beyond this idea of hospitality as duty. So I'm going to back up and start to how I kind of was inspired to do this. I traveled this summer to Belfast, Northern Ireland. This is a group of young people that I was privileged to travel with. They were from Pennsylvania, Alaska, and Illinois, and then Minnesota. They're through Mennonite Mission Network's Youth Venture Program. We traveled to Belfast to work with this was one of the first times that the organization has ever worked so closely with not a specifically church organization, but we went and partnered with the North Belfast Area Project. So this group of Mennonite kids from all over the U.S. went and served at the North Belfast Area Project's Sky Camp, okay? And I had to zoom out because there's a couple of hand gestures in there that probably shouldn't be. But these kids, there were 40 young people from ages 10 to 13 or 14, and they came for a whole week of getting out of the city of Belfast. They were kayaking and canoeing and mountain biking and doing arts and crafts. And then in the evenings, they learned about cultural stuff. And our kids were trying to figure out, how do we see and experience how God is working in a place where most of these kids, like I think Belfast is something like 90% of people don't go to church, but like the kids, it's like 98%. I mean, how do we do this in this place? And on top of that, religion is kind of a divider. I don't know if any of you are familiar between the conflict of Catholics and Protestants in that area. It was more of a political divide than a religious divide, but that was the dividing line. And so it was a really, really interesting trip. But the hospitality that we received on that trip was incredible. How many of you, when you've traveled different places, whether across the state to Wilmer or to out of the country, how many of you received some kind of generous hospitality that you were just kind of blown away by? Yeah? And how many of you have received a certain kind of hospitality that you could tell was very hospitable, but it wasn't quite meeting your expectations of what you would call hospitable? I had never seen that before this trip. My kids, one of them loved to eat, and the girls ate more like normal people. But Mark, for instance, you know, loved the fact that that they were just giving us all kinds of food. But then they were giving us all kinds of food with mayonnaise. And man, these girls did not like that, right? And I'd never, like, that was something I'd never thought about before. You know, what do you do when you can't do that? Or what do you do when people just, as a sign of respect, thrust you in a leadership position without a lot of support and ideas, you know? And the kids, like, just didn't know what to do with this. Then, after being in Belfast for a couple weeks, I flew back, and I went to Detroit, and you'll see we brought, there were a number of students from Belfast who came and served in Detroit. Now, they served with Mennonite Disaster Service in Detroit, where they're based out of a church there, have been there for a number of years. I don't know if you remember when the floods happened in Detroit. It happened about the same time as some of the Ferguson protests and whatnot, and so it didn't get as much news coverage. But some incredible floods and backed up of sewers, and so Mennonite Disaster Service has been there for a few years, and MDS has some policies that are there for a good reason, and they make sense to me because I grew up in this culture. And they are overwhelming in their showing of hospitality and support. But it was not quite what the Belfast kids were expecting. And so what do you do when hospitality is shown and given and loved, but not always accepted, you know, with as much appreciation as you'd like it to be? So I'm flying home, and I'm sitting in the airplane. I'm thinking, man, there's a sermon in that. Well, there's like 10. But what I was thinking, and the more I thought about it, is, you know, I think we all know what hospitality looks like, but how do we realize and come again why we do hospitality? You know, what's that purpose? What's that drive? As a church, one of the things that churches struggle with when we talk about hospitality is we want to be welcoming to visitors, right? For those of you maybe who are newer who might not know, this church as a body looks a lot different than it did like 2 years ago. There's a lot of people sitting in these pews who are new as of less than 2 years. And so one thing that we hope that people are feeling is a very welcoming place. Churches balance how do we welcome new folks and how do we care for the folks that are here? Because sometimes the answers to those questions are different. And we also, you know, how do we be present in our neighborhood and present in the church's neighborhood? Which can sometimes be different for those of us who are commuting. So there are all these questions that kind of run through. But the important thing that I want to talk about is what does this have to do with our faith and our drive, and what gets me most excited. So let's jump quick to biblical. Oftentimes when I think about biblical hospitality, I think that much of what was shared earlier, this being polite, the good things, being kind to strangers, you know, even the more progressive stuff like clothing the hungry and feeding the naked. Anyways, were you awake for that? You know, there's a number of places where hospitality is mentioned in the Bible. Okay, and I don't know if any of you can, if any of you know of them, if you know any more than this, shout them. But like 1 Peter 4, be hospitable to another without complaint. Titus, they're talking about an overseer. You know, for an overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, but hospitable, loving what is good. Hebrews 13, this one, I don't like the idea behind this one, but I also get where they're going. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Like, as in, be nice to everybody because you might accidentally be nice to a good person. You know, like, okay, come on. This one's fun. In Romans 12, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in doing so, you will... Why is that a good motivation to be nice to someone? And then this also comes from Romans 12, and I love this whole chapter, but so sorry for taking these out of context, but contribute to the needs of the saints and practicing hospitality. Now, all of these mention hospitality, but they don't really prescribe what that looks like. And that's because a lot of the prescription of hospitality is written out for us in the Old Testament, in Jewish law, and it's just cultural practice. The idea of hospitality would have been widely understood in the Jewish context, which is what Jesus would have been teaching in. In the Jewish context, the practice of hospitality wasn't an option, it wasn't a duty, it was law. Like, it was how you were expected to engage with people. You know, there weren't just laws and norms for giving hospitality, but there were laws and norms for receiving hospitality. And so I wonder if that was there, why did it keep getting mentioned again? And I think it kept getting mentioned again because it wasn't always being done for the best of reasons. So I want to ask a question, and it's, this idea of hospitality as duty, not a bad thing, but how can we take this idea of hospitality as duty and transform it into an openness to experiencing God in new ways? For me, when I have most experienced hospitality, it has often been coupled with a story that I share later about how I have most experienced God working in some way. Duty is not bad. And many experience the work of God in some pretty cool ways through duty and liturgy and some of these processes. But when we're hungry for it and expectant of it, and most importantly, when we're aware of those around us and their needs, if we're flexible and adaptable enough to offer our time, our energy, and our resources in hospitable ways, I think that we should be able to expect to see and experience and be a part of God's big project in the world. Now, because when we were meeting this week, Terry, Jazias, and Chris reminded me that I had a whole list of things that I wanted to talk about and not one positive story about hospitality and how I was hoping that you all would see it. I wanted to think of one and throw it in there. I shared this story about 2 years ago when we were talking about times in our lives that we had most experienced God. See what I did there? Just tied that. At the end of a backpacking trip through Europe after my sophomore year of college, I had 2 weeks that were my joy and would be like hell for you planners out there. I had 2 weeks of just unplanned travel, a couple days left on my Eurail ticket, and a few friends that I wanted to see if I could see. And my last stop was at a friend who had stayed in the U.S. as part of an exchange for a few weeks. He had saw on Facebook that I was traveling, and he messaged me and told me that his mom was going to take personal offense if I didn't stop in and see them. So I went to Saverne, France. which is just outside of Strasbourg. I was there for the last 4 days of my trip, and this is 4 days right before I moved to Arizona to interview and then accept a call to serve on the pastoral team at Trinity Mennonite Church. So I've like got a lot on my mind. I'm trying to wrap up this trip. I'm about to make a big life change. I've recently accepted a call to ministry, and I'm going somewhere to figure out if I'm fitting. And this is the group of people that I'm ending with, and I can't believe it. I went to France. I don't speak French. I speak enough to say, and I probably can't even say it very well anymore, like, I'm sorry, I don't know how to speak French. please forgive me. And then people laugh, and then they try to help you. But Peter's family, so Jeremy is my friend. So his dad Peter, they took me in an incredible way. And I don't know if any of you have experienced a French meal where everything's kind of prepared as you go, and it's long, and there's like 8 courses, and it's a whole evening. But my last night there, they invited like a dozen people and had a dinner in my honor. And it was very impromptu, and at the end of it, we'd just eaten this wonderful dessert, and at the end of it, Peter sits back and says, you know, I heard the other day that you were considering a call to ministry, and ever since then, and he's saying this through his daughter who's translating, but ever since then, I haven't been able to stop but noticing the gifts that God has given you, and so I want to give you a blessing, if that's okay. What do you say to that? Okay, you know, and what followed was probably one of the most humbling moments of my life. He read from scripture, and he shared, and the group prayed for me, and within an hour I was asleep, and within 6 hours I was on a train to Paris to fly home. And 3 days later, I interviewed for a job, and I got it, and my life was just forever changed. And that act of hospitality, it wasn't just the food, it wasn't the hiking that I got to do, it wasn't being invited to sing with their church, it wasn't whatever, it was Peter's awareness to my needs, my spiritual, my emotional need, that stuck with me in an incredible way. I've experienced the same thing with so many of you in this room, sharing these moments, these precious, these special, intimate, irreplaceable moments where you can connect with people beyond a hot dish, even if a hot dish is the medium. And I think that this idea of hospitality is an invitation for us to be, using a word Terry reminded me of, incarnational in our hospitality. God is the ultimate hospitable host. We were created, we're loved, we're placed here on this earth, we're cared for, we're given the opportunity to join in the work of caring for one another. And this is an opportunity for us to be incarnational and care for other people in some really incredible spiritual ways. And that duty is great. But doing that duty, we might miss some stuff. We might miss some stuff where cultural exchanges just don't communicate right. We might miss some stuff where someone's in a mental space and what they really need is prayer. We might miss some things where we're walking down the street and it's one thing to say hi and engage a stranger, and it's another thing to have a little bit longer conversation with them. I believe that this is true incarnational hospitality. God has created us and loves us and wants us to pass this hospitality on. And daily, we receive an abundance of this hospitality, and we get a chance to be a participant in it. Incarnational hospitality is far beyond duty. It's done in joy. It's done without expectation. The giver becomes the receiver, and ultimately, we experience again the abundance of God's hospitality. I don't have a whole lot else to back this up, except to say, I know it's here, and I think that oftentimes what I need is a reminder to do it. So what I hope for us as a community is that this is a reminder to do it, because sometimes when the crap gets thick, it's really easy to forget about it. Sometimes it's easy to remember to make a hot dish or to make a pie or fabulous cookies or something, and food. Or to rake someone's yard, or to let them borrow your car, or however you show hospitality. But it's the times when we need to think beyond and to be expectant of how we can see God work that I think sometimes get missed. If you're interested in reading more about this kind of different view of Christian hospitality, there's a book that I highly recommend. It's A Christian View of Hospitality, Expecting Surprises, by Michelle Hirschberger. And I'll send you the info if you want it. And also, I think this is something that I know in our house church we talk about a lot, but talk about it in your house churches, talk about it in your small groups. If you're in a relationship, talk about it with your significant other. How might we be more hospitable with one another, but how might we be more hospitable with those around us? Find someone, encourage them, encourage one another, be accountable to one another, and see how we might do that. In response to the message today, we're going to join together in receiving the gift of God's hospitality through communion. We practice an open communion. If you're a follower of Jesus, no matter at what place you are in that journey, we invite you to join us in communion. I should note the elements today are gluten-free, and it's grape juice and gluten-free bread. But you're invited to dip the elements. As you come forward and receive the elements this evening, as you may have done many times before, I would invite you to be expectant. Maybe this act of receiving communion will meet you in a particularly special way. It'll be a particularly spiritual act. Maybe tonight is an opportunity to be closer with those who you're taking communion with. Someone you know well, someone maybe you don't know well. Maybe this is a symbol of hospitality will serve simply as a reminder for you as you go throughout the week to be incarnational, to be flexible in your hospitality towards others or receiving from others. In whatever way it is, we invite you to come to take and eat this bread, which is a symbol of Christ's body broken for us. And we invite you to come and to drink from the cup, which is a symbol of the blood of Christ shed for you. Come now and receive this gift of hospitality.